Hello, I'm Zaniah Foster, and welcome back to Break the Slate, the podcast where we aim to inform and transform the next generation of the theater industry. And today I am here with Miss Elisa.
Hi.
She is someone that I know very well from my teachings at Page Parks, and her insight was just too incredible to pass up on. So here she is for an interview. I feel very grateful.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful.
Okay, so to start off, I'm sure this is a question that you have probably heard many times, but what first drew you to acting in the sense that you like began to view it as your career path?
Well, I grew up and I always wanted to be an actor. And I actually did theater in middle school. And I think I did some in high school. I know I did like competitions in middle school. And the way I found myself here was that, I told my parents I wanted to be an actor. They were like, absolutely not. And so I went to school for broadcast journalism. I went to U of H and studied journalism there, storytelling there. And interned at ABC 13 Houston. And so that's where I got my start. And I did a short film my senior year of college. And I loved it so much because University of Houston has an incredible theater program. And it was some of the actors from there working with the U of H production hub. And I see a little cardinal. I love cardinals. And did a short film with them, and I was like, yes, I love this so much. So my senior year, while I was full time in college, I took acting classes, and that was what really drove me. I had my first audition in Houston, and it was for an indie film called Suicide Notes, and I ended up booking it. And then after that, I went to Page Parks with the referral of a friend, and I signed with Page Parks, fresh out of college, and started auditioning and all of that good stuff. But it was in my heart of it was something I always wanted to do, and nobody in my family had ever done it before. So I'm definitely the first in navigating all of this, and here we are, still doing it.
Wow. Okay. First
Yeah.
option out the gate with the indie film and you booking it is incredible.
Thank you. I was like, oh my God, I'm moving to LA. This is it. Little did I know. Little did I know.
Wow. Okay. Just to like unpack that a bit more, I feel like that's such a recurring theme within like younger people trying to get into that industry with their parents not being supportive. But did that like not deter you at all? You were like very set on that's what you wanted to do, or were there any like setbacks when they told you their opinions on it?
It's, I think there's always going to be setbacks, and it's just how you overtake it. And obviously, parents were doing it out of concern and out of much love of, it is a very difficult industry. But in college, when I decided to take acting classes, my parents were incredibly supportive because I was an adult. And they said, okay, if you're an adult, like I had my education, I had my degree. And at least something adjacent to the entertainment industry. I always wanted to be a storyteller, first and foremost. And they said, well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it and do it well. So that's where I started taking acting classes, started auditioning, got the agent. And so with that, like I was showing them, like I am serious about this and I do want to do this and I am good at it. Obviously, there's a lot of room for growth every time. If you always, I'm still in class even. But dealing with that, I think it kind of sets you up also for a future because you hear no so many times. And it's just almost like it's that, you get knocked down 9 times, I get up 10. And it's, do you want to do it? And it's okay also to take a rest sometimes too, if you need a little bit of a break. Like I stepped away for a few years and it still had a calling to me, and so I'm still doing it. And now I'm doing it on my own terms. But yeah, I think it just honestly, it sets you up, I think, for a stronger career because there are so many diverse opinions that come your way.
That's awesome. I love that like staying true to yourself regardless of what the outside forces say and
Yeah.
how you like continue to persevere and whether it's doing it on your own terms or continuing. That's something that I feel like a lot of people can relate to. And something that like I found really interesting about your particular story, like do you think that the way that you portray like the characters that you do, the way that you studied journalism, like that early career, does that have like a really heavy impact on how you perform?
I always joke that I was a broadcast journalism major. I see the big picture of things. But it's also kind of true because that background gave me such having a background in journalism gave me such a good groundwork because I was already programmed to investigate. I found people interesting, their stories interesting, and I'm asking all the questions, getting down to the root, to the bottom, to everything of what is happening. And so I think that natural curiosity I've always had and connecting with people was leading me forward to that,
Yeah, that's
to this
awesome.
career. Yeah. And I think it just deepened my understanding of people and story and having empathy of where people come from, for sure.
Yeah. And just like the idea that like the success will come. It doesn't have to be like right out the gate, you go to college for this and then you have to do all of these. I love that it's not like a set process to get where everyone wants to be in the end. And I
Yeah.
think that's like beautiful overall.
Yeah. It's not linear like going to school to be a doctor or a lawyer. Art is so subjective. And the more that you're able to be at peace with that, and also life university is the best thing you can have as an actor. And every experience, no matter how great or how awful it seems, just gives you just something to pull from and understand with all of your characters, because you just have like this page or 3 pages or 10 pages or whatever your audition or story may be. But being able to dive into that, I'm like, am I making sense? Yeah.
Yes, I love like whenever anyone talks about being able to pull from real life experiences because it's
Yeah.
something that could come easily to someone rather than you're trying to feel sad when rather you could think of back on an experience than when you were, and it's like just to make it more accessible to everyone, those
Yeah.
emotions.
It was also really interesting. I want to touch on that because I moved to Los Angeles in 2012, and that was my own decision, decided to move out there, and I started, taking classes and doing all these workshops and meeting all these people. And I had a group of friends who were here from the UK, and they have a very rigorous drama program. Like they have like a step by step. And I think one of them even went to RADA and then came out here. And me as a young actor, I was like, I don't have that training. I didn't grow up in theater. I didn't go to get my master's in theater, and these actors did. And they were trained such a specific certain way. And then here I was just like following my intuition, well, having a process, but not a strong process, but also just allowing your instincts, because that's a lot of acting too, is obviously understanding your story, but following that instinct is so important. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not as good as these actors. They've studied here, and they were like, girl, you don't have the problems that we have of trying to get rid of all of these bad habits, And so just being able to realize no matter where you are in your career, there's always going to be something new you can learn, something you can shed. And then that's the beauty of it. You get to kind of pick and choose what process works for you at the end of the day,
Yeah,
which is
thank you so much for saying that. I feel like it's so important to remember that like the individualism of the process and the perspective is literally what makes you a good actor.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so like you said, like you got your first like indie film audition out the gate, and then like when you were just talking about moving to LA in 2012, how did your first like what would you count that indie film as your first like quote unquote professional job, I should say? And like how did that differ from what you expected, like dreaming upward, like towards it?
Oh, it was, I had such a good time on that set. It was here in Houston, and it was just magical. And I'm still in touch with all of these Houston filmmakers, and I think I did that in like 2009 or 2010. And I remember auditioning for it, and I ended up hugging my reader. And you're not supposed to do that. Like, I would not recommend doing that in today's space because you can't, because it's Zoom.
Yeah.
But when I had the call back, the director was like, I just love that you hugged her, because that's what this character would do. I followed my instinct because I didn't have a good habit or a bad habit, but I was like, this makes sense that I would hug this person in this scene. And it was just my first experience, a magical experience, so appreciative, and just such a beautiful collaboration. Like I did makeup on a short. I'm also a makeup artist. I did makeup on a short with the actress that we were like, I was, she was replacing me or I was replacing her. It was a play within a play, basically. And, you know, I still see Chelsea, which is really cool. And we went to the Houston Association of Producers Award shows together. We sat together, which was cool. I was nominated for Makeup Artist of the Year. But that's where you build your community. And if anything, like any project, no matter how big or small, go in and build your community, meet people, collaborate, be creative, be supportive. And it was just such a fun experience. So much fun.
I love that it was like a dream come true moment for you, and I hope that it's like that for everyone who gets their first project, no matter how big or small.
Yeah, me too.
I also wanted to touch on the fact that you said like now it's very different when it comes to auditioning. How would you say, do you prefer an in-person audition, or how do like the self-tapes and the Zooms like impact your performance, would you say?
I would say it was really hard for me to adjust simply because I was used to going in person, like driving to the audition place, whether it was a casting office or on the lot. And you're driving there, there's the, you know, changing of the shoes, the getting settled, the this, the that. Like there was a process to it, to being in person with a live casting director. And then 2020 completely changed. And we had been doing self-tapes since like 2016, 2017, I want to say. But then 2020, the world shut down. And I came back to Houston. I was here for a little over a year. And it was a really hard adjustment. And we were almost resentful. I'll be really transparent. Like for me and all of my friends who had been at it for 10 years, we're like, what is this? No, like, on a computer, how am I supposed to connect with this? And I was fortunately in a really great acting class that I'm still in class with. And we just went online, and he's like, we're going to embrace this new environment, which is you either resist it or you lean into it. And I have to say, maybe only in the past year, I've really enjoyed the self-tape process because I'm like, this is the new norm, and there's much more freedom to it. And the one thing I will say is I miss so much the human interaction of it, of being with the casting director and getting the read. There is an option to have a live Zoom audition. I just read for a really great guest star for an ABC show in Atlanta, with my LA reps. And I could send in a tape or I could have the option of a Zoom. So I opted for the Zoom and went to producers within, you know, the next 24 hours, which was great. They went in another direction. But having that one-on-one, like human interaction with the casting professional, the casting director, is such a different environment. And I would also say, work and make your self-tape process so strong so that you feel comfortable sending in that tape. And also working the muscle to have a live Zoom audition because it's very different. Because it's just a little bit more stakes. You want to make sure everything is technical and set to what it needs to be, but being prepared for that because it's a very different read when you're reading with your actor friend or with your mom or sister versus, oh no, I'm being recorded on Zoom from casting. Okay, it's just, you just have to kind of shape that mindset, but that's what I miss so much. So I love that environment because I love people, and I like, it's just getting that feedback is just different when you're in the room.
That's
And we haven't
incredible.
had that for like 5 years. We haven't really had it for, I want to say like 4 years. Four, yeah. It's, yeah. I think I've had two Zoom options this year. Maybe
Two.
three, maybe two, maybe three.
That's
Yeah.
so interesting to hear, because like when I like got into it, and when I'm sure like a lot of other people my age get into it, that's what it is like the self-tapes, and there's Actors Access and casting networks, and that's all that they're gonna give you, and you just have to like do it. And like it feels like stressful, but like I can't imagine comparing it to like that being in front of a person, and you have like you just gotta like be completely in it the whole time. And also you like scared me because you reminded me of like reading scenes with like a family member, and that's so stressful because it's so hard to like pretend to be this like it's like a dramatic scene, and I'm yelling at my brother and he can't keep a straight face, so neither can I.
Don't worry, that doesn't end. When I'm in a pinch, I pull my sister and I'm like, I'm going to have you over here. I'm not going to look at you. I just need your voice. Don't just be over there. But what's also really cool is that y'all don't know anything different. So
Yeah.
you grew up in this just self-tape virtual world where now I'm in this really cool place of combining the two. And I look forward to the day that you get to do the more live Zoom experience. And it's really opened up opportunities for people all over. Like I was able to go to Italy last year and I had three auditions when I was in Italy. Like I didn't ha like, and now I'm like, yeah, let me go enjoy my life. And I do my work. I have a really strong, solid process. So I'm like, give me an hour. I'm good. And it just gives you more flexibility. You know,
Yeah.
and I get to be home with my family and my friends, and it's great. I enjoy it a lot more now.
Yeah, that is great. That's a big plus, I feel. I
Hashtag
also
growth.
really appreciate Paige Parks for giving those like on Zoom technique classes and like just like the difference between whether you're in person. Like I like that they offer that online ability because it's like it's so important. It's so important.
Faith called me and I'm actually subbing a Zoom callback class today. So I was like, oh, funny that you say that. I'm doing a Zoom today right now.
Yay. In like that sort of teaching realm, has there ever been like a singular, either a singular class or like whether it be class or teacher that you
Oh,
think like,
excuse me.
oh no, of course. So, what would you say if there's like a specific teacher or class that really shaped how you act today?
Oh, for sure. It would be Stuart Rogers at Stuart Rogers Studios out in Los Angeles. And I've been studying with him since 2017. And I started in Sunday and then I was moved to Monday night class. I actually did my very first play there in 2018, which was amazing. And I'd never done a play. And I played three characters. And I would suggest to anyone that's the best training ground. And he really helped me one have a process and reshape myself into because as you grow as an actor, you're going to be moving from co-stars and booking co-stars, reading for co-stars. But the more you strengthen your process, you'll be reading for more things that casting is like, oh, let me try her out in this, let me try her out in this. And things became more complicated. And he absolutely helped me get there. If I have something to coach, I will bring it to him. I still study with him online. And that I'm so grateful to him because during 2020, I came home and like, our world shut down. And I mean, our community was thriving and rocking and rolling on Monday night, and then it stopped. And he's like, nope, we're going online. We are not going to stop this. We're going to keep our routine. We're going to go on to online Zoom. And so that's where we were able to really embrace it. I'm so grateful. And do you want to know how I found him?
Oh.
Yeah. So an episode of mine just went viral from Grey's Anatomy. And
I saw that episode recently.
yeah. And so I filmed that in 2018. And I'd been reading for this casting office. And I actually like have an Instagram like draft in here that because I've been getting like all these new people on my page. I'm like, let me share this casting story. And I started reading for them like 2014. And I was at an agency and my agent kept sending me out. I probably read for Grey's like maybe six times. And the sixth time I went in and I was playing a mom who had just given birth, and the baby, there was something wrong with the heartbeat. And like, it was a really emotional scene. And the casting director was like, you're starting at the end of the scene. Like, you're not giving me an arc. Remember how I told you, how I tell you an arc, you always want somewhere to go. You have there's a turning point that, and you're given more information where you want to go somewhere. And like, because I just didn't have a strong process. I was just like heavy and da da da. Because again, you never know what's going to happen to you in the next minute of your life, right? And I told my agent, and she was like, I think you might need to get into a really good class. And I think this guy, Stuart, might really help you out. And so I met with him, and he does an interview for his classes, just to kind of put you with the right group of people, challenge you, be in your same space. And started working with him after that audition. And I cried to him because I was like, I hate this process. This is hard. It's not what I wanted to do. I'm not reading every night. He's like, I got it. I understand where you're at. He's like, give me 6 months. And I put my head down, really embraced the process. And I think not even 6 weeks later, I booked my first top of show guest star on Longmire. And so that's what top of show just means billing. So like my name is at the beginning of the episode instead of the end. And that was just such a testament, I think, to one, putting your own ego aside and allowing someone to help you, because he's a wonderful teacher, and that's why I still study with him, because a teacher will see something in you and it's like, let's get what Zaniah has out of Zaniah and make it into this character, right? Let me bring what you have to the table and just bring that out. And that's what he was able to help me do. And honestly, it really helped my career. And then I did the play the next year and then leveled up. And then I read for Grays in 2018 and booked that. And that was also a top of show. And we thought it was going to be one episode, but it ended up being two. So that was really cool.
Wow. All respect to all the acting coaches out there who are putting up with everything and all the breakdowns. My goodness, it's a lot.
It's if you're not having a breakdown like every Tuesday, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right.
Really.
But we bounce back.
So, like, do you think his teaching in any way influenced how you teach students like me now?
Absolutely. And, I bring a little bit of what I've learned from him, a little bit of what I've learned from when I was at Next Actor Studios, there in Houston, a little bit of Sherry Shaw, which is a lot of comedy, a little bit of UCB, which is improv. But I will say that his process has been just that much more steady for me, that it makes sense to me. And then you can pull different things from Stanislavski, from Meisner, from Stella Adler. There's so many different processes, and it's good to be familiar with all of them. But at the end of the day, you have to find what works for you. And again, like, it's just tailoring and combining what works for you. But yeah,
Yes,
I
just
would absolutely say that.
the individualism, so important.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for like sharing the process that you've gone through so far. I
Yeah.
wanted to kind of steer a little bit, well, not so far away, but I do know that you also do dubbing for shows that are in different languages. How did you get like into that?
It's funny you say that because I'm actually about to record a season two for a show. My character comes back and I'm literally like, I emailed Faith. I was like, do you have a recording guy? But I found a guy with the studio here in Houston so I can go in and do my work for an hour. And they take care of all that stuff. But the way I got into it, literally, that's like one of the emails I'm dealing with right now. I've been doing voiceover since like 2014, been auditioning, just keep auditioning. I think it was like 2 years until I booked my first commercial booking gig. And dubbing, I want to say, came onto the scene in like 2017, 2018. And just my, because the thing with dubbing is it's very actor focused and story based, so you have to have a strong scene study and strong script analysis, and you're only given most of the time your lines, so you're not really get if you're lucky you get the other actor's lines, and so it's up to you as the actor to use your whole face, body, tool, instrument to express what's happening on the page without seeing it. And then you're a strong, solid actor rather than being a little bit more animated and this and that. It's just a much more groundedness.
Yeah.
And then I ended up booking my first one, which was a show called Diablero on Netflix. It's from Netflix Mexico. And I dubbed the character of Nancy. And she's this fantastic Mexican actress. And yeah, would be like possessed by demons. I think it was like that. I just went to that weird demon possessed sound in my audition and callback, and they're like, yep, that's it. And ended up working with Carrie Karenin. She's a dubbing director there in Los Angeles. And then she would just call me back in. So either she would call me or my agent would, submit me, oh, Carrie's requesting you. And it's such a technique and it's such a skill that it's like, it's hard to explain it because it's like, I know not what I do. It's just, you either get it or you don't. And it helps if you understand the foreign language that it's in, because you'll have a little bit more of the context. Like I did a Turkish one series that should be coming out, and then an Italian film. And I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, but in Spanish I do because I'm bilingual. But it's matching voice to picture to the emotion to this to that. Like it is hard work, I will say that. It is not as easy as it sounds, and it's very technical. If you've taken any of my voiceover classes or voiceover workshops, you will see how technical I am with what I do. Because it's having that, the technical to support the scene study and the freedom of being an actor. But yeah, that's
Glad
kind of
you
how I got
brought
into
up.
it.
I'm glad you brought up like the difficulty and the technicality because I was gonna ask like how is it like crazy to try and find that character while the performance already exists in another language, like still making it your own, you know?
It's a blessing and a curse because the actor, whoever is on screen, I mean, like they are incredible. Like I love a good international series and you want to honor them, but you also have to honor yourself and your performance going into this role. And so it's tying the two together of what you see matching where they're at, but also making it so real for you. Because people know when you're not telling the truth, if you're not being truthful, one in an acting scene, even more so, I believe, in a voiceover booth. Because, and I talk a lot about voice of being so grounded in your voice, because the mic will pick up everything, right? And being it, yeah, it's a job. It's a job. Let's just say that.
It's 'cause like these international like series and movies and stories are so amazing and like rich and complex and but then when the voice acting into your language is bad, you're like really? Because like the story is so beautiful but I'm not like getting that. And so I'm very appreciative of you putting that amazing effort into it because like you need it to like translate in all of the languages.
Oh, you have to. And to your point, I'll share another story. I had done a radio play, a podcast. It was like a radio play for a Dick Wolf series called Hunted. And I think Parker Posey was actually the lead voice of it. And I play a character that's being held by these, I won't give it away too much, but I'm being like a victim and they're like stuffing, the sound is like stuffing a sock in your mouth.
Whoa.
And I told them, they were like, do you want to sit in the chair for this? I'm supposed to be like locked up in the bathtub. And I said, no, I'm going to be on the floor. Give me some fabric. I'll jumble up this fresh t-shirt or this fresh sock and put this, and cry, whatever it is, to bring that story to life. And had such a great time with it. It was so magical. And then one of the actors who was on it actually knew my teacher, Stuart. And he said, yeah, I just did this, this podcast and da da da. And there was this actress, her name was Elisa. And Stuart was like, wait, I think that's my student. She just said that she did that. And this other actor he has worked a ton. He had nothing but great things to say, but it was because I was committed to whether it was just 30 seconds of a voice bit, but it makes the story that much stronger. So any opportunity that you get, no matter if it's a commercial, theater, voice, audition on set, give it 110%, 110%, because they'll believe it. If you believe it, they will too.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's really, oh my God, that is quite the job. Like, that is a job. Okay, I was wondering, do you think that for young actors, because that's, the audience I'm tailoring to with this podcast, do you think that voice acting is like a good way for them to kind of get their foot in the door as it's not like, not that it's not as technical, but it might not be something that makes you so nervous so easily?
I think Because I always approach my voice work the same way I approach my scene work. And there's just two different elements. It's either like your face and your voice is on camera or just your voice. And I wouldn't say it's easier or harder. It also depends on whatever your market is and what is available to you there. I would say treat any opportunity so seriously. Because you've heard me say in class, it's not about this job, it's about the one in 10 years. And I've had casting go into voice go into here. Theatrical comedic offices have called me in for commercials because everybody's bouncing all around. So treat every opportunity as a professional.
Thank you. That is great advice. Coming back to like young actors and like on like basing it off of your own experience, what do you think is something that like is overlooked when starting out in the industry?
Training.
Just like the overall.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think people just they want to be on TV. They want to do this. They want to go straight to the result. And let me tell you something. It's a journey, and you don't want to be swimming with sharks when you need to be in the shallow end. If you're in the shallow end and then jump diving right in, because it's a very competitive business. Train so that you can swim as strong as those sharks.
Wow. Okay.
Right? And
Yeah.
so knowing your scene study, knowing your character, being off book, knowing like being able to take adjustments, being able to take a note, being flexible, being collaborative, those are the most important things. And I think also people and I went through this too as a young actor of like, I'm an actor, it's about me and watch me in my scene. The more I find it to be more interesting when you're with the other person and being with the other person in the scene, because then you're just so much more present and there with them and telling a story. And it's just so much more truthful. And yeah, I mean, I would definitely just come prepared to be with the other person and not make it about you.
Okay. That's another reason I value Paige Parks is like they're on you about like the in-depth classes and taking all this time. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, in the interest of time, I have one or two like final kind of like fun questions, just like end on like a good note. Okay. So if your career was a movie, what would the title be? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I do want to know.
Oh, Allie.
That's
That's one thing someone told me. Oh, Allie, because my friends call me
cute,
Allie.
though. That's cute.
Oh, Allie, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, maybe that.
Amazing. Okay. Last, not least, what has been like your most like unexpectedly fun moment like on set, on any set, where you're like, wow, that was hilarious?
It was on Longmire, and I'm supposed to be giving him a note. And we would reset. He would give me the note back each time. And this was with Robert Taylor, like the star of the show.
Yeah.
And at one point, we're like doing our scene. And then I'm looking for my note. And he didn't give it back to me, or I didn't take it back to him. So I didn't have it in my pocket. I was like, I had it, because I didn't want to, break the script or whatever. And he was like, you mean this note? I was like, And so we had a really fun banter, and obviously, like, we went to go retape, but no harm, no foul. It was just one of those easy things, but he was such a good sport about it, and we all laughed, and it was just such a great experience.
Wow, incredible. Okay, thank you so much for doing this interview. I'm so happy that you found the time to kind of give me your knowledge and we like shared opinions and it was just overall, I had so much fun and I hope you did too.
Thank you.
And so that's just kind of a goodbye to everyone watching this. I hope you all learned a lot and I hope that you will continue to watch more on the next episode. Thank you, and that's a wrap.